This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Four dead because of a suspected murder in Idaho. Crazy. Classes at the University of Idaho canceled. Classes in Virginia canceled as well. We're going to start there. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, how you doing? Hope you had a great weekend. Sad to start this way. Really depressing to hear this story that happened at the University of Virginia. There was a bus load of football players that they were coming back from some sort of a game, I think. And what happened was ultimately a shooter, now we know his name, Chris Darnell Jones Jr., who's a former UVA football player, went into the bus and decided that he would go on a shooting rampage on this charter bus that had come back from this field trip. And he, as I said, he was a former football player. As a result, there were three football players that were killed: Deshaun Perry, Lavelle Davis Jr., and Devin Chandler. They all played at the school. And then there were two others who were wounded, rather, in that too. And so now it's a question of what happened here. What possessed him to go into that bus? So there were vigils that were held on the campus, but there was a whole lockdown overnight. When we were on the air, I mentioned that the shooting had happened. There was some kind of a shooting, and there was a lockdown, but there was very, very few details. So it happened at 10:30 Eastern on Sunday, and the school sent out an alert immediately: active attacker, firearms reported, run. This is what it said: run, hide, fight. That's what the words students got: run, hide, fight. So classes, needless to say, canceled Monday and Tuesday. And it's a lot of questions that are surrounding how did this happen? Why did this happen? It's always the giant question mark. Why? So after the lockdown, hundreds of people gathered, like I said, for a vigil morning on campus. That happened after the lockdown was lifted on Monday night. There were banners, UVA strong, the names of the and numbers of the players who died. There's, you know, they try to come together as a community, which happens on these college campuses when things like this happen. The sad thing is if you go back and think about some of the things that have happened at the University of Virginia, they've been in this spot before, as have many other universities, where there's a lockdown, there's people immediately very much in the dark as to what's happening, and that's what they have to do. They have to get the alert out there, and people responded, which is good. And then eventually they find him right as there's an update that's being given about what happened, about, you know, the three players are dead and two other people are wounded. And then you hear classes at the University of Idaho, like I said, canceled on Monday. Four students living off campus found dead in Idaho. So, and then there's the suspect also found dead, an act of violence, trying to figure out and sort out what was that about. Same thing. Students had to shelter in place, but not for as long as they did at Virginia. It was like an hour on Sunday, and there was no release about any of this. And, of course, all the victims in their 20s, you know, 20 and 21 years old. And so the mayor of this small town very close, in a place called Moscow, says that they only have limited information, that it's just, you know, our thoughts are with the victims and their families and the community. It's a sobering reminder. What he said really hit me. It's a sobering reminder that senseless acts of violence can occur anywhere at any time. We're not immune from such events here in our community. And he's right. And so, again, it was just stunning and just confirmation that there were four people found dead living off campus, and the families have been notified about their deaths. And it's the question again that looms, what, and why, and how did this happen, and what other details then spill out as a result of that. So what a way to kick off this show. But that's a snapshot of our world, young people dealing with these shootings and on campus having the lockdowns. All right, this finally happened. This just happened a few hours before we jumped on the air, but Arizona Democrat Katie Hobbs won the governor's race in Arizona, defeating Republican Carrie Lake. It was so close throughout this. I mean, so close as they were counting. Lake, the former TV host who was embraced by President Donald Trump, in fact, stumping for her, but she lost this by a very narrow margin. On the other side of it, Katie Hobbs wins this by obviously the same thing, this very small amount of votes, and finally counted. And she's a familiar face from the fact that she's already there politically speaking, because she's a veteran of Democratic politics. She served as Arizona Secretary of State, and she gained a higher national profile even, because the opposite of Lake, who was an election denier, she defended the results in Arizona of the 2020 election. So that just happened, and I think there's lots of reaction from that on both sides, where too close to call, too close to call, and then finally they have the number that is necessary, and that's it. All right, necessary or not, timing is everything, they say in life. Mike Pence, the former vice president for Donald Trump, is making the people around the country, you and I, talk about what happened on January 6th, because very little came out of Pence after all of what happened on the Capitol. I mean, he didn't talk about it very much. Now he's got a book that is dropping this week, and he's talking about, you know, the book and about what happened, and giving his account of it. His book is called So Help Me God, and he talks about what happened when he was at the Capitol and the riot started at the Capitol when everybody was breaking in, and what that moment was like, and how he wasn't going to leave the Capitol, and what the president asked him to do. And he didn't back away from the question that ABC's David Muir asked him in his exclusive interview about running for president. He said he was praying about it, thinking about it pretty much. So what is in that 542-page book? Will it become a bestseller? Is Pence still relevant? Will he run for president? Lots of questions. Talk about that and the current president's trip to China. What does it mean to you and me on the flip side?
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tejibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at DrinkSuperTea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tejibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at DrinkSuperTea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today. This all the time on the show, all the misconceptions about recycling plastic, all of that. And it's interesting. I was just sent something that was eye-popping to me. Do you realize that the majority of Americans feel guilty when tossing out something in the trash that could be recycled, but they don't know what types of plastic can be recycled? That was my issue a couple of years ago, but not anymore. It's led to a lack of trust that plastic actually gets recycled if it does or doesn't. There was this recent survey that revealed that the confusion is so widespread, more than 60% of consumers believe that flexible plastics like plastic grocery bags, bubble wrap, all that kind of stuff, some of the most common contaminants in our recycling stream are recyclable in their curbside bins. They just don't know what is and what isn't. So who perfect to have on this show? He's been here before. Jeremy Walter, Sustainability Ambassador, Republic Services. Jeremy, thank you.
Hey, Kay. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, actually, you're one of the people that helped me realize some of the things that I could recycle, didn't understand. So this is, like I said, a perfect time to have you back on. What is the state of plastic recycling right now in the U.S.?
Well, you know, demand for recycled plastic has never been stronger. Major brands are setting ambitious targets for recycled content in their packaging, and some states are actually even adopting minimum recycled content standards. But current supply is falling short, and that's not because these materials aren't out there. It's actually because people aren't putting them in the recycling bin to begin with.
Yeah, so that's a perfect lead into this next question. Which plastics should never be placed in a recycling container, and what's good?
So, Kate, you were hitting on it just moments ago. Those flexible plastics, think grocery bags, bubble wrap, saran wrap. If you're a frequent Amazon shopper, you're no stranger to those plastic satchels that you get. Those flexible plastics are one of the biggest problems that we see at our recycling centers, not just here in Las Vegas, but across the nation. They wrap and tangle around the sorting equipment. They cause jam in the machinery. They cause inefficiencies, contaminate other materials down the line. So what we're really looking for are the hard plastics. Think bottles, jugs, and tubs. More specifically, plastics number 1, 2, and 5.
1, 2, and 5. All right, I love that. Are there some key findings from this survey that you did?
Yeah, so you were touching on it earlier, and overwhelmingly, people are recycling the wrong things. But what's interesting is that when we asked consumers about their confidence level in knowing what types of plastic are recyclable, over 60% said that they feel confident that they know what types of plastic belong in the bin. But then, as you mentioned earlier, over 60% are incorrectly recycling those flexible plastics. So quite the correlation there.
So isn't the key thing, and this is what happened with me, is you just get in a rhythm, and then it's like anything else we do. You just keep doing enough, you keep doing it enough, and it becomes second nature.
Yeah, exactly. Recycling doesn't have to be difficult, but, you know, human nature is that we want to do the right thing. And, you know, so many times over, people think that just because something is plastic, it belongs in the recycling bin. And they don't understand that throwing the wrong thing in the bin actually does more harm than good. But when it comes to good recycling habits, be educated on what you can and can't place in the bin, what you need to do to some of these materials before you throw them in the bin, and before you know it, it'll be second nature and you don't even have to think twice about it.
Yeah. I mean, this is an obvious question, but it's one I think about now because I became so in tune to what I needed to do. What's your biggest concern? You said that there's a shortage, there's the materials out there. What's your biggest concern if we see people being apathetic about it?
Well, you know, like you were saying, that supply, more and more recycled content is making its way into the packaging that we're so used to in our day-to-day lives. But one of the questions particularly that we asked people was, you know, out of the plastic items that you use, what are you consistently recycling? And, you know, these numbers should be 100%. You should be recycling your bottles and your jugs 100% of the time. But we saw that even particularly like a plastic water bottle, respondents were only recycling them consistently maybe 62% of the time. And that's where we're falling short on meeting that demand. These are good, valuable materials. There's a huge environmental benefit in keeping these things out of the waste stream, keeping them in the circular economy so they can become new materials again.
Yeah, all good stuff. Jeremy, where can we go for more information? Where can the listeners go?
They can check out republicservices.com/AmericaRecyclesDay.
Always great to talk to you, Jeremy. Thanks.
Thanks, Kate.
I doubt that 40% of Americans don't believe plastic's recycled, or they don't even know if it gets recycled. It is confusing, and I definitely used to go back and forth with the hubs on that. Like, what am I doing? What are we doing? What are we recycling? And it's true that a lot of material is being recycled and used. Thank goodness. I mean, that makes sense, right, to do that. So it's an easy thing that any of us can do, and I think the lack of confusion, to clear up that lack of confusion, really, really, really helps. All right, speaking of confusion, so there was no confusion, as I said, and I dive a little deeper here onto David Muir's interview with Mike Pence, the former VP. What he said in this exclusive interview, and again, with his book coming out, he said that when he was asked about what had happened in the Capitol on January 6th and what it was like, and he said that the former president, President Donald Trump's rhetoric was reckless as the mob of supporters ransacked the Capitol, as you know, with Pence and others forced into hiding. He said, I mean, the president's words were reckless. It was clear he decided to be part of the problem. Pence said he was angered over a tweet from Trump as the insurrection unfolded when the former president said he didn't have the courage to do what should have been done when talking about Pence after he pushed back against the pressure not to certify President Joe Biden's 2020 victory. Pence said he turned to his daughter, who's standing nearby, and said, it doesn't take courage to break the law. It takes courage to uphold the law. And again, he's got this book coming up that's going to be released on Tuesday. And will he run for president or not? It's still a question, but I think he's thinking about it. So it's interesting because his book comes out on Tuesday. He just had this interview with David Muir, and the former president is going to announce that he's running for president from Mar-a-Lago, his home in Florida, on Tuesday. And who knows what's going to happen with Ron DeSantis, because there's a big push to have Ron DeSantis run for president as well. So this could get incredibly interesting. Hey, speaking of interesting, coming up, a lot more people are getting into the metaverse, or are they? Regardless, there is a huge amount of concern about security. How do you keep yourself secure in this thing called the metaverse? And we're going to talk with Haiyan Song to find out more about that. What is the security? Because it's got to be pretty complex. Some of that complexity of how do you keep yourself safe in that, when lots of companies and individuals are using the metaverse for different things. I mentioned the president's trip to China. It's a bilateral meeting on Monday with President Xi. And there was a big push about Biden laid out in detail the one China policy that hasn't changed, and that the world has an interest in maintaining peace and stability in that Taiwan Strait, because there's a lot of concern over that. So he pushed pushed in the conversations about the actions toward Taiwan that are increasingly aggressive, and how that's hurting the Taiwan Strait and the region in general, and jeopardizing global prosperity. So they talked about managing differences to prevent competition from becoming conflict. It's, you know what, listen, what is the thing about keeping your enemies close? I would keep one eye open and absolutely be concerned about what is happening in China. So having a bilateral kind of meeting is a good thing, because you have to, if you can, you have to have some kind of relationship. So this is being watched by a lot of people, what happened there. I mean, you see the handshake, the two shaking each other's hands, before their meeting on the sidelines, really, of the G20 summit meeting. And, these are just a few details that have come out of that. A lot of conversation about Taiwan, no promises, no anything from China, but just digging into what's happening there and what the U.S. is committed toward as far as that area is concerned, Taiwan. And it is a prosperous area, and it is global, and there is a big concern about what's going there, of course, and the human rights violations. Mailbag coming up next.
Radio. Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well,
you see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Marusa reporting. Control of the U.S. House of Representatives hinged on Monday on several tight races that could secure a majority for Republicans following midterm elections, having won 212 seats compared to Democrats' 206, with 218 needed for a majority. But the final outcome might not be known for days as officials continue counting ballots nearly a week after Americans went to the polls. Wall Street's main indexes ended lower on Monday, with real estate and discretionary sectors leading broad declines as investors digested comments from U.S. Federal Reserve officials about plans for interest rate hikes. The National Basketball Association has been sued by three longtime referees who said the league fired them this year after they refused to be vaccinated against COVID-19 over religious objections. This is USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best, deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Metaphysical style. M-A-H-O. Metaphysical style. With the good day style.
Scientific parabolas, my linear projectile puncture, chronical matter, bisected, injected diffractions, computating thoughts through telephone RAM stored in a fluffy T1 line connect intersect, riding brain waves like a silver surfer wireless mode in hand. For raising sandy swords, I get metaphysical.
Well, you all have heard me talk about the metaverse a lot lately on the show. Some interesting things to take into account. There's been a recent survey conducted by market research firm YouGov for F5, and it shows that cybersecurity is a major problem in the metaverse, and I know some of you have talked about that, and could impact future growth if it's unchecked. So 1 in 3, that's like 37% of businesses operating the metaverse, say their organizations have been attacked in relation to the adoption of metaverse, which again is what I've done recently in adopting metaverse. So who better to have on than Haiyan Song? She's the EVP and GM of Security and Distributed Cloud at F5 to talk about what cybersecurity needs to really look like in the metaverse for it to be safe for companies and people like you and me. Haiyan, thanks for coming on.
I'm so glad we get a chance to talk about this. It's a very topical thing everyone is paying attention to.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first question is the umbrella question, how cyber criminals are leveraging the metaverse to attack companies and defraud people. What are some of the things that you're seeing?
We think about the metaverse as a new world, but when you think about criminal intent, it's actually very similar coming from the world we live in. And for hundreds of years, there's all those intent. It's because there's valuable assets, and they're going to find ways to find the assets. through social engineering, fishing continued to be a very, you know, prominent way for them to get to people. People, as you know, is the conduit right now between the digital world, the physical world, and to the virtual world. So what we have seen is technologies or techniques they have used to attack the physical digital world, if there's a term like that. They're using it to do the virtual sort of attacks like DDoS. They could take your, you know, digital twin down in the virtual world. They would social engineer and get into identity. That could cause problems too. And they could steal data. That's a big problem.
Oh, yeah, especially the data. So what is it going to take to protect all the digital data that's going to be shared, which is obviously a target for, as you just said, cyber criminals?
The technology that's powering the metaverse has this unique nature that it's intended to decentralize the ownership of data. And so that means if you're a user, you have a lot more control of your data. And with that ownership comes with responsibility. So it's not just the company who need to be responsible to protect the data. Individuals who are owning their avatars and their assets needs to be very, very diligent in think about how they want to share their data, who they want to share data to. I think it's a new way of letting the users take on responsibility. But we all know, even though it's decentralized, not a do-it-yourself type of project. So we still need companies take responsibility to guide, to protect, and to have infrastructure, to have visibility into how the data are moving around, and to monitor and have mitigation capabilities, just like what we're doing in the world today, but do it much faster, more automated, using AI and ML, because the metaverse is not operating at human speed. It's operating at machine speed.
Yeah, so to build that infrastructure, as you say, using AI, it's making me think, you look at a system of authentication, which is so big now, and a way to trust and protect the brands and users. So that has to obviously be a big part of this, right?
100%. I think it starts from identity and identity of the, you know, enterprise or the users. And that's where there's a lot of new, I would say, technology are being deployed, right? You know, we know password is really not the most secure thing to do. Multi-factor authentication is an important thing if you're operating in a virtual world. And there's newer technologies like passkey enabled and bio enabled. So I would recommend enterprises and users to really embrace the newer and more secure way to identify and authenticate into the virtual world.
Yeah. Hayan, if people want more information, where can they go?
Well, there's many places, actually. I think the community are very active in education and training. There are things like staysafeonline.org. You can go, and they are just like shows like you, and they should listen to, and where you bring experts and insights for everybody.
Yeah, that's great advice. Staysafe.org is a good place, too, to go, obviously. Thank you so much, Hayan Song, EVP and GM Security and Distributed Cloud at F5. Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
So it's interesting in talking about AI and, you know, talking about metaverse and, you know, see all the spots for it. Oculus, I remember I've talked about that on this show. It's really cool to kind of work out one of the virtual reality sets. But people get really into it, and companies are using it for different things. Remember, there was a lot of spots being run about, wow, it's amazing, the technology and what could happen futuristically when it comes to even operations and all this sort of stuff. And as that is unfolding, there's all these problems with security and concerns over that. So I thought she's right. It was very, very timely. Speaking of timely and speaking of AI, boy, all these high-tech companies laying people off. Bah humbug, 'tis the season to not get a pink slip. But I thought what was interesting is Alexa is a thing that some people really, really use and have all over their house, and other people absolutely hate it. My brother wouldn't have one, period. He thinks it's just an open portal for problems, and who knows who's spying on who. And the Hubs is the same way. But apparently, because I thought Alexa was pretty popular, But so the Amazon Echo, for example, that's one of the things that is connected because that's where you're yelling at, play my music, do this, do that. And apparently it loses $5 billion a year for Amazon. So Amazon's laying people off, and they're losing money with this whole Alexa deal. And why is that? So it's under review. They're looking at this, the whole idea of Alexa. Could Alexa become obsolete? Wow. It is interesting because, like I said, it's some people just swear by it, and other people just, even if they have it, they lose interest in it, apparently. So, you know, Alexa, you're fired, may be what we hear in the, I don't know, coming year. What will 2023 bring, or 2024? One thing that is happening for many of you listening to my voice right now is, I'd say this show is about what's happening in your backyard and mine, is the fact that we're going to get cold weather, some early snow for some spots in the U.S. So winter storm warnings have popped up near Oklahoma City, 6 inches of snow. They're talking about weather like that in the Texas Panhandle to northern Missouri, parts of Minnesota, the same thing, that strip of snow pushing through the Midwest into New England, maybe by the middle of the week. But expect perhaps some of those bone-chilling temperatures with that air that's being wrapped up out of Canada. So it could dip 20 to 30 degrees even, and that means... That means you're bundling up. So 100 million Americans could be experiencing temperatures even below 20 degrees. Wow, I have not been below 20 degrees in a very, very long time. Although they are saying that in Florida it'll be chillier and cooler too, but not that kind of cooler. So if you are somewhere in the Midwest, especially the Southwest, parts of the Southwest, you could be right in that area. You will be right in that area for this cooler air and possibly some snow, right? And it's really crazy because you think about, you just had a couple of weekends where we're talking about 70 some degrees. Like last week in Chicago, where it can be bone-chillingly cold, it was 76 degrees less than a week ago. So you're talking about a wild swing. That's why they call them layers. That's why I learned about layers when I started to move across the U.S. Oh, yeah, that's that layer thing where the weather's one way. They used to say that in Texas. If you don't like the weather in Texas, just wait a few hours. It'll change. Well, that's happening in a lot of different places. Unfortunately, what could be triggered is possibly some tornado activity. But most of what the weather looks like to me and looking at these maps is with the winter storm warnings, you're looking for snowfall, really, in Wichita, Topeka, Kansas, Columbia, Missouri, Kansas City, 1 to 3 inches of snow, that kind of thing. So the slippery road deal starts again, and you'll hear a lot of conversation about that. That's what that means. One thing happening in the tech world, I mentioned that, you know, Amazon's going to have layoffs. Twitter is having problems. They're going to have layoffs. The billionaire who came in spent $44 billion in the takeover and fired half of the 7,500-person workforce. And one of the things that they had at Twitter is that a perk was you would have a free lunch. They had free lunches. So they had a company cafeteria where you had free lunches. And they said that the free meals cost the company around $13 million a year. So guess what he's cutting out? No free lunches at Twitter anymore. Boo-hoo for those poor, poor people, right? Mailbag, next.
Do you have those those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life? I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, katedelaneyradio.com, I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both of my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at katedelaneyradio.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Now let's talk about the mail. Can we talk about the mail, please, Mark? I'm dying to talk about the mail for you all day, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Let's
stick
in the mail, then.
Alright, so first one up, very timely since I just did something on this, but PDB says, hey KDB, I really enjoy the show. I am laughing out loud at some of the stupid things that people are tweeting about. I remember you had somebody on the show once and you talked about this, that you had a conversation with the great Gary V, and he talked about not getting attached to the platform, meaning they can all disappear when it comes to social media. So now we're starting to see problems with the Facebooks and even some of the Amazon stuff, and then of course what's happening with Twitter. And I saw the story and the debate over the fact that Elon Musk is spending, or Twitter is spending, millions of dollars on lunches and, I guess, breakfast for employees, who half of them don't even work there now because they work from home. And you have to be kidding me that these people in the tech world who are making $200,000 plus are complaining and whining that suddenly they're going to have to pay for their lunches. Welcome to the real world, kids. The rest of us are paying our lunches and have been since we started working when we were 16 years old. Oh, it's different in tech because you get used to having your laundry done and playing basketball in the middle of the office and all of that. I mean, I don't know. Work is work, right? If you're promised a certain thing, I guess you expect it. I started thinking about the free lunch thing, and this is kind of funny. You know, that whole thing about there are no free lunches, and of course, being in the media, and I have been in 700 plus, you know, locker rooms and therefore press boxes, and it used to be that some places the media, you have a media pass, you're covering the team, going to NFL games, NBA games, NHL games, whatever, soccer games, just name it, and there was meals. And now it is that some of them you have to pay. So I will say this. The Oakland A's, you always had to pay. So, wait, you don't have $15 for dinner or lunch? I don't understand. But it is interesting to have that discussion that really most places, it's just silly, right? They're not paying for your meals. They may have a special thing where they bring in food, like for Christmas, for this, for whatever holiday. But that was a thing about tech, that was one of the perks, that they would feed you, they would take care of everything around you so you could devote your time and not be focused on the drudgery of having to worry about where you were going to go and where you're going to eat and going off campus and all of that, that you would probably get more work done. But that's gone. So, PB, I hear you. All right, this one from Robert. And Robert says, Kate, meeting with China is like me having a sit-down with my mother-in-law who's never liked me. Try as I might to come up with a compromise. And somehow we coexist in each other's worlds because I love my wife and my children dearly, and so it's okay. But we will never, ever have a meeting of the minds, and I don't think we should when it comes to China. It's outrageous, some of the things that they do behind the world's back, humanitarian-wise, when it comes to ripping off people with tech or anything else, frankly, that's innovative that they can get their hands on. They may pay you, but they're going to steal you blind in the end. Yeah, but you know what? You still have to have the sit down, right? And especially the whole idea, I think, more than anything, when you talk about on the scale of humanity, what's Taiwan and all of that is like Hong Kong, having it out there, mentioning it, talking about it, putting the pressure on, puts the pressure a little bit on China, like, yeah, we all know what's going on here, right? So this is that whole diplomacy dance that you have to do, and you would rather do that and have the obligatory handshake with Xi than the other, where it's just the coldest of cold relationships. I mean, like I said, enemies closer, that whole thing, you get it. I have a lot of cliches in that department. All right, Joseph says, Kate, I can't imagine that I'm a lifelong Republican, hardcore. I can't imagine that Donald Trump is going to be the nominee for president for the Republicans again. Based on some of these midterm elections, the party is changing. Even Josh Hawley mentioned it, and he has been supportive of Donald Trump. In fact, a lot of people that have been supportive of him aren't necessarily taking some of that support away, but they're not going to back him when it comes to the presidency, because it's clear that across the country, Republican voters wanted something different, because even though some of these races were close, a lot of the races that were lost. And it's very unusual to have that happen in these midterm situations, especially with where the economy is, complaints over inflation. You've talked about that a lot on your show. And people, I think, are tired of divisiveness. I can tell you I am. I've heard you say it, and it's so true. Why can't we get along with our neighbors? Why do we have to hate, even if we completely politically disagree? Well, there you go. You're playing my tune. I mean, yeah, I don't understand that either. I mean, listen, I love living in this country. I think there are amazing people all over the place, and I meet them all the time, and it makes my day, seriously, just strangers. And I don't know what they think politically. I don't know if they agree on five of the things that I think are important, but treating people with kindness, and especially when you talk about your communities, it's so much easier, right? Don't we all want soft landings? It's hard enough to navigate some things in life, let alone have to have the constant sparring. Absolutely stand for your convictions and values and all of that, but to the point where we're tearing each other apart, and I think that wherever that's happening, people are very, very tired of that. I absolutely agree 100%. All right, Dave says, Kate, I'm listening to you in Arizona, and by God, girl, there has to be a better way to count some of these votes and our election process. And I'm not blaming actually the people that are processing the votes. It's not their fault, but there has to be other ways to be able to track these things a lot faster than they are. And so we get down to the nitty-gritty, and there have been some really close races here, and that's not surprising based on the demographics of the different counties. And I know you know that and have talked about that as well. Carrie Lake is not going to win that seat. Katie Hobbs is going to win the governor's seat. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? What can she do for the people of Arizona is what I ultimately care about more than anything. Whether I disagree with some of the politics or not, I care about the politics of what's happening in our state. And when you're the governor, that's really, really, really at play. Yeah, of course it is. I mean, you know, you can't poo-poo the power of a governor, and a governor to be the great equalizer too. I mean, absolutely, that's an important spot. There's no doubt about that. Different than what we're talking about, representation on Washington at the legislative level. But there's a reason why different governors have each other's ear. There's a reason why you have a governor and somebody to say, wait a minute, and to look across the board at what's happening in all the counties that make up a state. So moving forward, of course, that's what you want to happen. I think there's going to be more fallout, though, about the election, the results, the whole thing. I don't think it's just going to be open and shut. You can email me your thoughts on politics or anything else that's happening in your world. Kate@KateDelaneyRadio.com. Tip of the cap once again to Nathan Reeder for his excellent work on the technicals. Make it count, everybody.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.